On today's episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast, our Rooski game of the week sees, well, it's going to be a battle of the Midway. Bears and Packers in Soldier Field. Quick little rematch for the NFC North. And some more Saturday football for you. Commanders, Eagles. Can the Commanders get the upset? Along with that, Sunday night football. Two Pats fans get to talk with a Ravens fan about how the Pats are going to whoop the floor with them. It's going to be great.
Oh, brother.
Oh, brother. Recap Thursday night football and more. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. We got Justin Tucker. We got CJ Medeiros. What the hell is going on?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He
was
did.
Indeed?
Yes.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, we're recording while the Rams Seahawks Thursday night game is happening. It was 30-14. Rashid Shaheed just had a punt return go to the house. 30-20 yes. Right now, pending extra point. Maybe they go for two.
Well, they're going to have to go for two.
Because it's a 16. It was a 16-point game, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't fuck this up, darn.
So, yeah. Well, I had work today, so that's why we're recording so late. Usually we do this in two parts. Here we are recording in the middle of the Sunday night game. And, well, we're going to get more into it later on. But so far it's been Sam Darnold seeing ghosts again. But, we'll, like I said, we'll save it for later. He stayed in bounds, right?
Yeah, he stayed in bounds. It was close, but elite body awareness there.
Hell yeah. I like it. Shade, what a pickup for the Seahawks. Anyways, Rooski game of the week, Bears-Packers. This is going to be a fun one. Packers, this is going to be their first game without Micah Parsons, and two-point conversion is good. Oh, overcome. How about that? First game for the Packers without Micah Parsons, so this is going to be a little interesting to see how the Packers kind of come out of this. You know, are they going to come out guns blazing, or are they in the mindset of we're fucked? That's kind of how I see this. I like the Bears this week. I'm just going to get right into my pick at this point. Bears. That's like, I like them this week. Packers are reeling a little bit. I get that, you know, they're looking for a little bounce back after their loss to the Broncos. But I don't know. It's, when you have two teams that are good like this, right, you have to think there's a split. There has to be a split. Now, the Bears also haven't been the Pack, or, well, they're currently 1-1 against the Packers in the year 2025, beat them week 18 to end the season last year. Now I'm feeling a little revenge out of the Bears for this one. Packers have had the Bears number for quite a long time now, especially during the Aaron Rodgers years. Jordan Love, it may be Toyotathon, but boy, wasn't great against the Broncos defense. Granted, it's top two defense in the league. Bears have been looking really good. Had a really good bounce back win, get right win last week. Oh, yeah, popped. But hey, who knows? I think I might be the only one choosing the Bears here, but hey, they're favored by 1.5 for a reason. And those type of odds, I kind of like it. Give me the Bears on Saturday Night Football.
I'm not going to waste too much time on this. I'm going to choose Toyotathon. Granted, he had a great first half against the Broncos and then a bad second half, but I think the Bears defense isn't as good as the Broncos defense at home. So I think the Packers are going to play much better than they did at Mile High. So I still got the Packers winning this one, despite not having Micah Parsons.
Well, what's interesting is a lot of people, even I said myself, that the Packers were essentially like defanged without Parsons. You know, Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness are fine, but you could freely double team one or the other with very little concern. The thing is, I mean, we got to wonder how much of a difference is this going to make? Because if you watch the original game between the Packers and the Bears, you may have seen that Parsons was being held on like every play. like they were grabbing his arm. He had like players with fistfuls of jersey. He was in a headlock more often than not. And the officials didn't call it. So maybe I'm just being sarcastic, but we could call it a break even. Call me crazy. I know they just lost, even though it's Toyotathon. I'm actually going to roll with the Packers on this. And I know Christian Watson is also banged up as well, but and he is practicing. That's good, even in some capacity. But the problem, call me crazy, but I think he's good, but I need to see more out of Caleb. I do. Right now, I think he's the quarterback you win with. I need to see more to say he's the guy you win because of. That's really how I kind of view this. And when I look at last game, that slow start killed him. Like, you start out hotter, right? Then you probably win that game. And that's something we've been seeing this season, is that a lot of these Bears losses have come on these slow starts. And I think it's going to happen again. I think Green Bay is going to rise to the moment, and I think experience wins, and I think the Packers win. Toyotathon be done.
Yeah, this is going to be the third straight week that Bears are also going to be without Roma Dunze as well. He's been banged up 3 weeks in a row, and like I said, missing his third game. But, you know, you guys mentioned the slow starts. I mean, when you think about Caleb in that fourth quarter against the Packers, he was dicing him up, especially those final 5 minutes. So, yeah. I
agree. And then he ended with, like, the game-losing pick.
Yeah.
He threw a duck that got grabbed by Nixon.
Yeah. But, anyways. That was our Ruski game of the week. Bears favored by 1.5 over under on this one is, I just had it up. Over under is 46.5. All right. We'll step aside for a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into our week 16 game picks. This is the Fumble Ruski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Ruski podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. Let's get into our week 16 game picks. Saturday football. Oh, you know you're in quite the time for the football season when the NFL starts getting their games on Saturday. You know it. We're in some wild weeks coming up, because never mind college football playoff, you know, you have the last three weeks of the NFL season right here, right now. But what better way to do it than some rivalry games? We talk about Bears Packers. Now we're going to talk about Commanders Eagles. Commanders 7-7 point underdogs against the Eagles at home this week. I mean, something's got to give, right? Something's got to give for the Eagles. They had themselves a get-right game against the Raiders, and that freaking monster game at that, considering they beat the living breaks off of them. But especially after a 3-game losing streak, needed that. Commanders, they're a little hot themselves. They got themselves a bounce-back win against the Giants. By the way, if you're wondering about Jaden Daniels, he shut down for the year officially. Which makes sense, going to have to. But, yeah, in terms of this game, I think the Eagles keep the ball rolling, especially against a Commanders defense that is old and hurt, much like a lot of this team in general, old and hurt. Thoughts around the table?
To be point-blank honest with you, I expect the Eagles – to, you know, dominate this game. I expect them to put belt to ass. And if this game is even remotely close, I'll be shocked. The quarterback play just hasn't been good from the Commanders all year. And quite frankly, I think it's it should be easy for the Eagles to win this game. But overall, I think the Eagles should win this one pretty handedly. I think it should be by like plus 10. But yeah, I don't see this being a challenge for the Eagles, who the Commanders basically are shutting it down for the season.
Yeah. And I think that's honestly, CJ, before you give your take, this is a low-key move that Dan Quinn made to save his season. That's a Dan Quinn saving his season move type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or saving his job, I mean.
Yeah, I know what you meant. So as for me, I'm also going with the Eagles here. I can't describe it. There is a part of me that feels like this game is going to be ugly. Like, I don't know why. I think Philly's going to win regardless, but I just feel like it's going to be an ugly game. Like, maybe it's because I don't trust the Kevin Petullo offense, but there's kind of a Philly cycle, if that makes sense, where we've mentioned it, you know, with we do the Mike Tomlin cycle and stuff, and like with the Cowboys as well, where it seems like this season Philly has a monster offensive game, right? They put the doubters in their place. Everyone's running up numbers. The running game's humming. AJ Brown is feasting. Everything's looking good. And then the next week they say, ha, 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 gotcha. And they resume back to their offensive impotence. So I think they win. I just think it's going to be ugly. I think we're about to see the offensive sluggishness of the Eagles 2025 cycle.
Yeah.
Oh, also, Chris, one more thing. Saturday football. No, I'm sorry. I'm watching the college football playoffs. That's just me. Like, I'm going to put on
cards.
I yearn for Alabama, Oklahoma. I'm sorry. I'm not watching Philly Commanders.
Alabama, Oklahoma.
It's not the Aggies and Hurricanes? Are they Friday?
Oh, no, I meant the playoffs. Yeah, Alabama, Oklahoma, the 9th and the 8th seed.
Oh, for some reason, I completely forgot Oklahoma was even in it.
No, they were in it.
Yeah. Nope. I'll just play this week.
This week?
Alabama, Oklahoma's playing tomorrow.
Texas.
Wait. Oh, never mind. But yeah, so
Miami, Texas.
Miami, Texas.
But still, you know, you got a, like Tuck just said, you know, you got a Texas A&M playing. You got a Oregon versus JMU.
Did you see the spread for right now?
Yeah, I heard it change. Last time I saw it, it was like 20.5.
Oh, it's 20.5 right now still.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. What did it open at? It opened at something insane. I remember that. But, all right. Week 16, Sunday, early afternoon. Let's get into our first matchup. The Browns against the Buffalo Bills. Browns are 10.5-point underdogs against the Bills this week, over under 41.5. I expect the Bills to keep it rolling. That's, I'm sorry.
Can someone explain to me how that's a completed 2-point play?
Wait, what?
Oh, it
was a lateral.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lateral. It wasn't technically a forward pass. And the lateral, it was a live ball, and Seattle recovered it in the end.
That is so Mickey.
Well, we got a tie game, kids.
Who scored that?
Apparently, I don't know. Charbonnet. If you're wondering for fantasy purposes, no, it doesn't matter. 2-point plays don't count.
Yeah, they do. Zach Charbonnet scored.
Not in fantasy, they don't.
For some, they probably do. It's AJ Barner. I was asking about who scored the touchdown. Okay.
Charbonnet got the 2-point conversion.
Damn. That place is probably, I don't have the volume on right now, but that place has got.
Yeah, it's one of the loudest stadiums in the league. So,
yeah.
That track
is it's going.
That place is going bonkers right now. Anyways, Browns, Bills. I expect the Bills to just keep it rolling. That's plain and simple for me, honestly. At that point, it's just a matter of if they cover the spread.
I think the Bills are going to cover. Give me the Bills. You know, after that win over New England, they're playing with house money right now. And the division is within reach. And I think now they hold tiebreaker because they won the more recent matchup. So, yeah, like, they got everything to play for.
Uh-oh. Why is Puka on the sideline?
Good. Keep him on the sideline. Tuck.
But yeah, no, I'm just saying. So, Tuck, what do you think? Chris and I are both going Bills.
For this, sorry, who are the Bills playing?
The Browns.
Oh, yep. Sorry. Yeah, the Bills should not have any problem with this game, even though I think Shador will have a better than expected game. But I just think the Bills, there's no reason they should lose to the Browns unless Myles Garrett just has a godsend game. Like, he just has like 5 or 6 sacks. And he demolishes the record. So I think the Bills are going to win this one pretty handedly, and Josh is going to have like an MVP type of performance. Outside of that, I do expect some good plays from Shador, but his team around him will just fail him. But yeah, the Bills will win this one.
I hate to say it, but Josh Allen has kind of been sneakily like hanging around that top three spot for quite a little bit right now. And I'm just going to try to check real quick where he is at the moment.
Last time I saw, Stafford was still leading. I think we're at the point in the season where even if the Rams lose this game, Stafford, like, statistically is just too far ahead.
I wouldn't go that far.
Right now, top three is Stafford at, according to DraftKings, Matt Stafford's -350, Drake May's +400, Josh Allen's +750. Hmm.
If for some reason Matthew Stafford throws a back-breaking interception, they might just say Josh Allen's.
Yeah. Jeez. Rams going 3-0 on that is wild.
It's momentum. They don't have it anymore. Ever since that punt return, they haven't looked right.
Yeah. How about Sam Darnold? What a comeback. All right. We have to save it. All right. I think this is probably the second most intriguing game in the 1 o'clock window. It's the Dallas Cowboys and the Los Angeles Chargers. Cowboys are 1.5-point favorites at home, over under 49.5. And I say that because these are two teams that, while you look at the Chargers and they're a playoff team, but they don't really look like it. They look like they have the worst offensive line in the league, which showed. They do. Yeah, against the Chiefs. But they still came away with a victory. You look at the Cowboys, like, their defense seems like it's kind of coming or was kind of coming around, but still don't really know. I'm kind of hoping to see Herbert and the rest of the offense actually pop off and do something, because like, it just has felt weird, especially in like this half of the season, middle portion of the season, you name it. Beginning of the season, they were lights out. Now it's just, I don't really know what to think. Cowboys kind of the same thing. Like, thought that the defense had it figured out. Now you're kind of like, kind of, especially that win against Philly on prime time. You were like, all right, Cowboys about to make a run. Like, they could make a sneaky run at the playoffs here. Now they're still on the outside looking in at this point of the season. I don't know, but my gut feeling is going to the Chargers on this one. My gut feeling has the Chargers.
Let me just make sure before I say anything.
What you submitted?
Yeah. Well, I also have the Chargers. I thought this game would be pretty close, but based upon what's happening to Dallas, first they lose to Detroit, then they just lost to 9 in against the Minnesota Vikings. And so I think, since Justin Herbert is clearly the better quarterback out of all three of them between Jared Goff and J.J. McCarthy, I think the weapons he has around him will be just enough to keep the Dallas Cowboys at bay and get a convincing victory.
I know both these teams have been weird, but I like a shootout here. That Cowboys defense was just eviscerated, straight sliced and diced by J.J. McCarthy, 9, as it were. Which, I don't know if he's German ancestry. That makes sense because 9 is no, which is probably what the fans say every time he takes the field. But no, the fact that 9 carved up that defense is concerning for the Cowboys fans. And honestly, like I said, I like a shootout here. I do. And as a result, like, and we've seen it a few times, especially like with the Lions as well, the Cowboys in these shootout games, they're usually the team that ends up blinking first. I like that trend continuing. Give me the LA Chargers in Jerry World.
I like it. I like it a lot. Next game on next game on the list. We got the Titans and the Chiefs. Titans 3-point underdogs at home. 37.5 is your over under. This feels like a game that the Chiefs should win. This feels like a game. All right, let me rephrase, because that is not. I think the Chiefs are going to win. All right. Backup bump, Gardner Minshew. It's going to be fun. Gardner Minshew is going to lead him to a win. What I meant to say was I can wholeheartedly see the Titans winning this game. I wholeheartedly can. This is one of those games, like, beginning of the season, obviously, you look, or week 3 of the season, you look at it, you're like, no shot. But now, Mahomes is out for the season. Chiefs are kind of down the fucking dumps, to say the least. Titans, you know, I've said this a few times, like, it's hard to go 16-0. It's really hard to go 16-0 in the league. It's almost just as hard to go 0-16 or lose so many games in a season, or in this case, 0-17. It's really hard. Really is. And Titans are 2-12 right now this year, and who knows? Maybe they do pick up another couple wins. Backup bump is real, especially when it's one team that is good and one team that is really shitty. So give me the Chiefs.
Bless you.
Bless you. Next. Should I go talk to you?
Yeah, CJ, you go. I'm going to grab my water.
All right, good luck. Anyway, so for me, this is a game that I feel like it's going to be weirdly competitive, if that makes sense. I am really expecting this game to go down to the wire. I'm expecting fireworks. I mean, the Titans, you know, they even in garbage time, they did hang around against the Niners. And you saw what Cam Ward did to the Browns defense. So, but like you said, the backup bump is real. And if you get the ball to Rashee Rice, I don't think there's anyone on that Titans team that can cover him. I think they're going to be fine. Gardner Minshew is a very capable backup quarterback. You know, you can start him definitely for a game or two and not feel anything. The Chiefs are out, but you know they're going to be seeing red. So give me Kansas City. But like I said, my shootout senses are tingling here.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Gardner Minshew was the backup last year for Philly, right?
No, that was Pickett.
Pickett, that's right. I was trying to think of who was the backup, or if he was the backup for.
He was the backup for the Raiders.
Right. Yeah.
I was.
Are you kidding me?
Oh my God!
Well, thank God it's not Puka.
Yeah, I thought it was too.
There's a flag. There's a flag.
That was a good hit, though.
Tuck, who you got?
I think it might be against the Rams. I'll go Rams this time.
No, you mean? I was talking about the flag. Who you got? Chiefs Titans.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh my God!
I got the Chiefs. I'm not gonna. I think
they're doing a goddamn show here.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. You picked the Titans.
I picked the Titans.
Yes,
I'm looking at it right. Titans, here. Bro. Come on.
Yeah, I think the Titans are
good. It's not a bad pick. It's not.
It's not a bad pick.
Very within the realm of possibility.
That is but again, I think the Titans are good enough to win this game, but I was just thinking, like, it's the Chiefs still. But since I already picked the Titans, I'm fine with it. I think I think Cam Ward is good enough to win this game. I just worry about some of the other pieces around him. But since the Chiefs don't have the magic of Patrick Mahomes, I think they are more than capable of winning this game, especially with some of the highlights I've seen of Cam Ward. He can make some amazing throws, but unfortunately, his team hasn't been always able to make those catches. But I think the team around him is competent enough to keep them in these games, especially since the offense hasn't been good. So I think the Chiefs will lose it due to the lack of offensive capability. I got the Titans winning this one.
I like it. Sorry, I'm just updating the ticker. I realized I never updated it when the Seahawks scored. But Miami-Cincinnati.
Who cares?
Well, yeah.
Amen.
This is in there for like least intriguing games of the week, especially when you have, well, actually it's probably more or less intriguing because of the I'm surprised this wasn't the first thing that was blurted out of you guys' mouths, but Tua got benched when you were starting. Shit. Never mind that Tua got benched. He's named the emergency QB this week. Zach Wilson's QB.
A $53 million a year emergency third quarterback. Oh, never change Miami.
Yep. Yeah, I got the Bengals this week. There's just, I mean, is the backup bump relative to this situation?
Now, Miami's already starting so far behind. That's a team. You know, they've already fired their GM. They just got booted from the playoffs. You know, they had their little mirage run. Now they're back down to reality. Mm-hmm. You know, you're starting Texas legend Quinn Ewers. Your head coach, more likely than not, is getting canned. Hell yeah, more likely than not, I think, regardless of that stupid contract they gave him, I think Tua's on his way out. And this is just a time where the vibes in Miami, no amount of surf or sun's going to save them. Like, the vibes are shot. They're at an all-time low. I got the Bengals winning, probably in an ugly one. I mean, the offense should explode, but it won't because Joe Burrow is depressed. I mean, if you see his press conferences where he stopped just short of saying, I'm not having fun anymore. So, you know, I have no offensive line. I have no defense. That is kind of his fault. So, yeah, I just got the Bengals here because the vibes in Cincy are low, but the vibes in Miami are in hell.
Yeah, I think I talked before you gave your pick. I said this about what's his face in Washington, Dan Quinn. I said this literally like 23 minutes ago. This is a move that is going like Mike McDaniels made this move to save his job. That's the long and short of it. Tuck?
Yeah, I got the Bengals winning this one pretty easily. Yeah. I think all in all, I don't think there's anything Miami's going to do, specifically because of the quarterback situation. I'm okay on Quinn, Texas legend Quinn Ewers, but all in all, there was a reason he was behind Tua. There's a reason for that, so I want to see what he does. I don't think he'll be like the savior of Miami all of a sudden, but the only thing I find interesting about this game is if somehow Miami wins it and you just see how depressed like Joe Burrow is, like whether the offense is doing good or bad. If they somehow lose this game, I think he might actually ask for a trade sooner or later.
Oh my God, he missed that. That's my fucking kicker.
He was clutched all night, and now he just missed that.
That's my fucking kicker.
Hey, guys, I think that was Chris's kicker. I'm sorry, Chris.
But all in all, yeah, the Bengals should win this one easily because that offense is just a mess unless A-Chan just runs all over the place, which is very possible with the Bengals. The Bengals.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
You
okay, Chris?
Yeah. One last thing about the Dolphins. You know, respect to the fact that they were able to rattle off 5 out of 6 prior to that loss on Monday night against Pittsburgh. But fact of the matter is they blew their shot early and often. They got a win against the Jets. Great. That was their first win of the season, but you know, they probably could have, they could have gone one against Carolina. They could have definitely gone one against Cleveland, but decided to lose by 25.
What the hell was that play call? But sorry.
Very good. Jeez, that just pissed me off. Jason gets one target in the first half. All right, I'm going to save it. I got to save it.
Yep.
It's Jets. Saints are 6.5-point favorites at home. 40.5 is the over-under for this one. Well, this is also in there for least intriguing games of the week. Jets also just fired the defensive coordinator, Steve Wilks, so that's interesting. But I like the Saints this week. This is a team that you can tell that they play for Kellen Moore. And, hey, you know, there's a chance that Kellen Moore is a good head coach. I feel like you can kind of see signs that the guys rally for him and whatnot. So, you know, Kellen Moore definitely not on a hot on the hot seat after year one. See how year two – I'm interested to see how year two goes. But, anyways, Saints.
Saints for me, I think they're just the better team, surprisingly, because they're capable of beating teams like the Bucks and the Carolina Panthers in back-to-back weeks. Shocking how good they can be at times in the NFC South, but absolute mid against other teams. They have, I think they have a good or decent future ahead of them. They just need more talent around them, and they need to get rid of some of the older guys. I see them. I see Cam Jordan possibly leaving. I see Alvin Kamara possibly leaving, but I see the potential, but I'm not sure if I'm completely sold on like the quarterback position. I'm not sure Tyler Shook is the quarterback of the future, but for this game, I think it's going to easily be the Saints because they're at home.
Shook hasn't been playing too bad either. I've been looking Shook recently.
No. He definitely hasn't. Oh, but you know what this is, fellas? I can't wait. It's a very special game. To quote YouTuber Urinating Tree, it's a 10th bowl. Oh, yeah. Who wants that high pick more? Is it the Jets? Is it the Saints? You know the rule. Don't win. So, unfortunately for the Saints, I think they're going to win. Tyler Shuck, is he the quarterback of the future? Probably not. But you know what he is? He's the quarterback of today. And I think he's solid. I don't think, you know, he's going to, you know, charge you into the horizon. He can't do that. But what he can do is beat the Jets. And once again, the Jets are another team where I know we talk about vibes a lot. Maybe that's not the most empirical-based argument. But I will tell you, vibes and the Jets, they're just, there's just so much doom and gloom over there, you know? So, yeah. Just give me the Saints because, like, I think if you have a pulse, you can beat the Jets. And believe you me, ask the Carolina Panthers, the Saints have a pulse.
Get the fuck off the field. Just get off the field.
You okay over there, Tuck?
No, it's aggravating me how ass this offense is all of it. Like, they'll have moments where they're, like, on fire, and then other moments where they just can't move the ball. It makes no sense.
About the game happening
right now. Yeah, all right, we got to save it.
We got to save it. If Chris is another... favorite, so do you, and so do I.
Fine, but as I've already talked, I've already given my opinion. I think it's
all right. Giants, Vikings. Giants are 3.5-point underdogs at home against the Vikings. 43.5 is the over/under. Maybe 9 does it again.
I could see him doing it again. It's basically who's the better white quarterback with the most motion, and right now, JJ McCarthy's looking pretty damn good. I think I got the Vikings winning this one. They have the better defense, and I think the offense is finally putting some things together. The connection between JJ McCarthy and Justin Jefferson isn't there yet, but there's a few sparks. It's not there, but I could see it coming together against the Giants because of how bad they've been this year. I got the Vikings winning this one.
How the fuck does CJ not even crack a smile at that? Come on.
Because I wasn't paying attention.
That's why he didn't.
Unbelievable.
I did. What did he say?
He said, what did you say, Tuck? Say it again.
I said, it's the battle between the white boys with the most motion. That's trying to figure out who has the most motion.
Yeah. God forbid a white boy get a little motion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You.
Oh, what a.
No, we gotta say that, but yeah, no, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at somebody other brain. Chris, I'm sorry, buddy.
What's your fucking pick? What's your fucking pick, CJ?
Anyway,
that's
the good here because look, is JJ McCarthy good? It was the Dallas defense bad. I don't know, but hey, I'll give him that. Like, I'll give him that he won. Looks like he does have upside, and we won't forever just remember him for the 9 meme. But give me the Giants, another organization that just is waiting for week 18 to end so that they can be mercifully dragged behind the woodshed. But I got Vikings. Like I said, Giants are just they're done. They've given up. Vikings at least have a future to play for.
Yeah. Most intriguing game in the 1 o'clock window. Panthers Bucks. Panthers are 3-point underdogs at home. 45.5 is the over under of this one. Both teams in the gutter. Weird vibes. And, you know, who's going to take the NFC South? This game, and of course, they're playing one more time after this, correct?
Yeah, they've faced 2 times in the last 3 weeks. So the winner takes
The advantage. Bucks after this, they got the Dolphins in between. In terms of the Panthers in between games, that they're taking on the Seahawks. So depending on who wins this game, this could potentially be for the division. Because are we to trust the Panthers to beat the Seahawks?
You say that, and then they beat the Rams.
This game's not over. Hey man, this game's not over yet. There's 53 seconds left, and the Rams are driving. Anyways,
I'm talking like the.
Panthers. Are you saying so?
They are really capable of beating the Seattle. They are capable.
Yeah. But
will they?
Are you trusting the Bucks to beat the Dolphins more than Carolina beating Seattle?
I wish I could say with 100% certainty yes. But
these are two very weird teams.
Yes, but I'm not.
I know that's what I'm saying. Like two weird teams.
I think the Bucks win against the Miami Dolphins more likely than the Panthers outright beating Seattle.
That's kind of what I'm thinking as well. If the Bucks win this game, then I don't think that Week 18 matters as much as I would hope. But I'm picking the Panthers strictly because they're 3-point underdogs at home. That's literally it. That's just how I feel about these two teams, especially the Panthers. And those are the vibes I get. Look at the Panthers. They were 10.5-point underdogs to the Rams, and they beat them at home.
Hey, you know, it happens.
All right, you guys.
I'll take this one first. This game, to me, is one of those classic hot take, but this is a classic who wants it less game. These are two teams that are vying for a playoff spot, but as I say, you know, you'd think you'd get two battle-hardened teams ready to fight each other to the death, and in reality, you're getting what looks like a Three Stooges skit where it's just unserious. Likely awful play, likely very sloppy, and anybody outside of the NFC South will probably be able to point and laugh. I'm expecting a comedy, be it on the field, and a comedy of errors. So if that's the case, then I just have the Bucks because, I mean, Mike Evans is back, and, you know, they look like they're getting some kind of traction back on offense. Meanwhile, the Panthers, you lost to the Saints, but then again, so did Tampa. So who the hell knows? I'm just going with Tampa.
Exactly. Who the fuck knows? That might have just furthered our propaganda for Tyler Shuck.
Yes. But again, I think I'm picking the Bucks this time around. I think they'll win this one and win the next one. And they might be a little lax going into week 18, but I think the Bucks are going to win this one because they're desperate at this point in time, and they need this one. I think the team is overall better than the Carolina Panthers, even though the Panthers just have an amazing defense. And I think Baker Mayfield's going to win this in the clutch for them, because I trust Baker more than I trust Bryce Young, because Bryce Young, even though he'll have his highs of highs, he'll also have some moments where you're just banging the table where, like, it's just, what are you doing, Bryce? Where are you looking? But overall, I think the Bucs are the better team. So I got the Bucs winning this one fairly close.
I like it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, week 16, late afternoon slate, Sunday late afternoon slate, along with the primetime Sunday night football and Monday night football. And, well, we're going to finally get a recap of this fucking Thursday night game. By the way, it's taken 40 minutes for 8 minutes of game time to go by, I just realized. All right, this is the Full Brewski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. Let's get into the late afternoon slate for week 16, starting with the Denver Broncos, 3-point favorites at home against the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, it seems like every week that we're just like, hey, road stops here for Denver. This is where it stops. Well, they're 12-2. They're 12-2. Look on the other side, the Jaguars, 10-4. When the fuck did that happen? Well, they're on a 5-game winning streak. Hasn't been that pretty. You know, they went to overtime against Arizona. I mean, if you look even further down the line than that, they've won 6 of their last 7, with the one loss being that terrible blown lead that they had against Davis Mills and the Texans.
Mm-hmm.
And you thought right then and there, that's the season. That's the season. You know, that's what CJ has been talking about the Pats loss to the Bills as, is that's a season ruiner right there. It looks like we're going to overtime of this Seahawks game. So, speaking of overtime, Arizona beat them by 3. We're kind of a weird grinded out game against Tennessee. Colts, they spanked the shit out of them. Jets, 48 points. I even said this prior to earlier this week, but the Texans, Jaguars, since the bye week, have put up 25 plus in every single game since their bye week. And that's those 7 games that I laid out. Do the Jags stop the Broncos win streak? Well, Jags were kind of a interesting catalyst to end the Chiefs regular season. They definitely helped in that. Maybe they take down another AFC West foe. I think I'm about to hit the upset button on this one. I think this is my upset of the week, boys. Jags over Broncos.
Okay.
I can see why you think that. I could see why you feel that way, considering the way how Trevor Lawrence and how Travis Etienne has been playing. That offense has been amazing, been playing lights out, but I don't think they're going to be looking as good against this Broncos defense. They'll have their moments for sure, but I do not see an upset happening, because I think the Jaguars defense, well, okay, it's not as good as the Broncos defense, so I think Bo Nix and that offense will get out to a faster start than what they did in against the Green Bay Packers. So I see the Denver Broncos winning this one pretty handedly. So no upset this time. No upset.
You're no fun. You're no fun. CJ, what's your pick? Come on. It's got to be the Jaguars. You want the Jaguars.
No, I'm going Denver for the sole reason that it's in Denver. They don't lose in Denver. That's the problem. And even though their defense, you could argue, doesn't really travel, and it's in Denver, so it doesn't matter. The Jags are also just a very weird team. One week their offense is exploding, the next week it's a slog, but they get the win regardless. That's not going to fly against Denver. You know, they got those guys that just fly all over the field. I think it's going to be close, though, but at the end of the day, no pun intended, I just don't think they have the horses to overpower Denver's defense.
No fun. No fun. Cardinals, Falcons. Falcons are 3-point favorites on the road this week. Look, it's been fun watching Jacoby Brissett. It's been fun to watch on the Cardinals. We've said it a ton of times, you know. It's a big reason as to why the offense actually seems like it's doing something. But I think the Falcons might end up rattling off a few more games here. They're out of playoff contention. But, you know, why not? Let's rattle off a few games with Kirk Cousins. You paid him freaking out over like a ridiculous amount of money to just ride the pine, and now you have him here replacing Michael Penis.
Excuse me.
Let's have some fun.
That is not his name. I would not.
Don't let Chris have any fun with Penis there. That's something he knows all about.
There's a flag.
Especially with the amount of times he's been drinking it all over the pot.
I think that might be a face mask. Oh, there's a hold. Awesome. I say face mask because I thought I saw someone rip the face mask when he was going down. Give me the Falcons, though. Kirko.
CJ?
I mean, he's without Drake London, so.
Wait, they're without Drake London?
I mean, they'll probably be without Drake London again. I'm just saying.
Yeah, honestly, they're probably just going to shut him down. At least that'd be the smart thing to do.
Yeah.
And honestly, I expect this to actually be like a high-scoring game. I do. The problem is that I don't trust that Cardinals defense. No matter how good of a game Jacoby Brissett is having, no matter how crisp the offense looks, you cannot trust them as far as you can throw them. And just give me the Falcons at that point. Because, heck, Kirko Chains, as the children call him, literally, I kid you not, defeated the Vikings. So I didn't know a Jacoby Brissett, Kirk Cousins mid-off is what we needed to end the big 25, but I'm happy we're getting it. Give me the Cardinals. I'm actually expecting a good game, honestly.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I got the same. I got the Falcons winning this one. I think Kirk Cousins is going to be good enough to beat that Cardinals defense, who have been miserable this season. I don't think the Cardinals are good enough to beat the Falcons when they played as well as they did last Thursday night against the Bucs. So yeah, I think the Falcons are going to be good enough to win this game.
Yeah, I concur. Lions, Steelers. Look, I think that if Aaron Rodgers keeps playing the way he's been playing, like good old Aaron Rodgers, by the way, Lions are 7-point favorites at home. Over-under's pretty high. You guys would enjoy this one.
You got us.
You go first.
Yeah, I got the Lions winning this one because I need
them. No. Chris wants us to guess the over-under, apparently.
Oh, the over-under?
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus 10?
No. Oh, God. No, that's not.
No. That's not the spread. Points. It's the over-under, like, amount of points scored.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. 34.
I have a weird feeling that it's going to be, like,
disgustingly low.
Stupidly high number. Because Rodgers has been playing well. You know, I'm going to be bold. Wait, Chris, I know sometimes they don't end in 0.5. Sometimes they do.
They always end in 0.5 for the over-under.
Okay, so I'm going to go bold. Give me 51.5. It's going to be high.
On the fucking nose, dude.
Yes! Oh! I like that. That's fun.
Dude, you've been nails recently with these.
Hey, what can I say?
Anyways, like, Roger's been you know, he's been playing like good old Aaron Rodgers, or like he used to. If he keeps playing like this, maybe we see the Steelers win a playoff game. Maybe.
That Mickey Mouse.
But, I mean, if this is the Steelers we're talking about, and we're talking about the Mike Tomlin cycle, come on. Come on. Let's be real. Let's be real. This is the Lions. This has the Lions ran all over it. It's the cycle. Guys, it's the cycle. It's the cycle. That's the cycle.
Is it the cycle, Chris?
I don't know.
It's the cycle.
I got the Lions winning this one because overall.
Yeah, well, you want the Lions to win.
Yes, and they're a better team. Are you telling me the Steelers are a better team than the Lions?
No, I'm not trying to say that.
Yes.
I'm just
as biased as I am. I know that the Lions should come away with the victory here.
Oh my God!
Is that a pick? Oh,
it might actually be a pick.
Blake Corum, how did you drop that? You bum! You bum!
Yeah, Matt Stafford. For those of you wondering at home, threw a pick. It was off of Blake Corum's hands. Like, he hit Blake Corum, and he bobbled it right to the defense. I know I've said this before about how some interceptions shouldn't count against the quarterback. That's one of them. That is not Stafford's fault.
Yeah. All right. Before we get into
it. Oh, wait. Let's see if he actually caught this.
Let's see. Wait. Right there. Let's see. Ooh. That's going to be close.
That's a tough angle.
Here we go. So he gets his hands on it. The ball's moving in his hands, brings it into his chest. The tip touches the ground, though. So that's going to be close. His hands are under it, but the ball is moving. Mm-hmm. The tip does touch the ground, but the question is, does he have control? My estimation is that it's going to stand because I'm not entirely sure there's enough evidence to overturn it. What do you guys think?
Stafford's throwing the helmet back on, so I think that might give you an instance of what everyone's thinking on the field. Texans Raiders does
not look thrilled, so
yeah.
Maybe it's just after all the reviewing. I don't know. Sorry, guys. The game is going on. We can only focus on so much. Here we go. It's incomplete pass. Call reversed. Still Rams ball. Blake Corum,
you lucky bum,
you got bailed out.
Yeah, he's not playing another snap today. Texans Raiders. Texans are favored by how much?
Okay, if it's the spread. Wait, is it first? Can I ask a question? Does it end in 0.5 or does
this ends in 0.5, yeah.
Texans Raiders 16.5?
18.5?
Right idea, boys. It's 14 and a half.
Oh, well, my streak comes to
it's
an
probably
end.
Gonna be it's probably gonna end up covering 18 and a half, though.
Yeah, like, I was thinking, like, are we serious?
Like, the Raiders,
their offense goes flat again, which is very possible.
We might have to show mercy to the Raiders. Ooh. Oh, fucking
flag.
We might have to show mercy.
Back. It's coming back.
All right, let's hone it up back in here.
Nope. Yeah, I'm sorry, but yeah, the Texans should win this one pretty handedly. Offsides defense.
Like, we might have to show mercy to the Raiders and not put them on bottom three next week because that's how bad of a beating this is going to be.
Yeah, hold up. Chris, you know the rule. If they get shut out,
I know,
automatic. No, there is no mercy if you get shut out. Them's the rule.
We got to show the Raiders. Them's the rule.
Mercy is for the weak.
We might. They are weak. We're gonna have show mercy.
Oh well, then. But I'm just saying, you know the rules. You know how it is.
Flag?
Did they call timeout?
It would seem that way. Yes. So, okay, but for me, you're talking about the Raiders. Did the rest? Wait, Chris, I didn't get to give my pick for the Lions Steelers. By the way,
yeah, he didn't. Oh, you didn't? Oh, my bad.
No, it's for the Lions. Like, I'm going Lions. I'm expecting Rodgers to have some fight in him, but he's not going to win Detroit. This is not the Aaron Rodgers of old. So moving on to Falcons, Raiders, that defense, Kenny Pickett starting, right? Is it going to be Kenny Pickett again?
I'm not sure.
Could be. I don't think it's Geno.
Actually, it doesn't matter who it is. Geno, Kenny, whoever's under center for the Raiders is catching straight belt from that Texans defense. And you know where that belt's going.
Touchdown.
Right to the ass. Oh, by the way, folks at home, Rams just won. Puka Nacua, walk-off touchdown. Chris going against him in fantasy. He's not happy. I'm sorry, Chris. I'd give you a firm handshake.
You know the rules changed.
The game's not over.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. I forgot the Buffalo Bills lost a playoff game and started belly aching so much. The league changed the rules. God, I miss when it was just first score wins. This league does not incentivize defense. You know, they ruined it. They ruined it. I don't know, but whatever. I'm sorry. But sorry, Chris. I'm sorry. I don't know ball like that, apparently. I hate the overtime rules so much. It's so soft.
Well, it just got implemented for the regular season this year. Yeah, it is soft, by the way.
Yeah.
I like it for the playoffs.
You always say soft is puppy shit. Well, that.
Yeah. Playoffs make sense. Regular season, like, let's just get the fuck home. All right. Now for the real juicy content. Sunday Night Football, Ravens Panthers.
Oh, here we go.
Ravens Patriots. Ravens are 3-point favorites at home against the Pats. And we have also been able to confirm the jerseys that the Ravens are wearing, black tops, purple bottoms. So a little bit of a breath for myself, because if it was the All Blacks, I probably would be shitting myself. I do not want to see the All Blacks. But for this game, fuck you. This is a get right game.
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I'm looking at fucking Tuck here. I'm talking to Tuck here. This is a get right game.
Never fuck mind. You, buddy.
This is the game.
Never mind. I thought you were looking at me. It's like, I guess
this
I made
is
a
game thing. Where the Pats are going to go belt to fucking on the Ravens. Derrick Henry, never fucking heard of him. Mike Vrabel used to be his fucking coach. You don't think that he knows how to fucking defend him? Fuck off. Lamar, piece of shit. He's got nothing. I was about to call him a piece of shit. That would have been very wrong for me to say.
Two-time MVP.
Lamar Jackson, dude, his hamstring is still shot. You shitting me. All right, before I continue, did he miss practice again this week?
Yeah, he missed the practice.
Yeah, of course he fucking did, because his hamstring is fucking shot. Fuck off, dude. You shitting me, dude. Drake may buy a billion. You know the deal. Come on, Pats, buy a billion.
Fuck CJ, you can go next.
No, Tuck, you go, because I am level-headed here.
Well, I will be reasonable, I think.
No, you won't. Nah, I don't want you to be reasonable.
Of course not. Ravens are going to put belt to ass. The Patriots are going to do what they always do, take the foot off the gas when they get a little nice little lead, and then the Ravens are just going to take the lead and then win the game outright, because apparently your head coach just can't trust Drake May to win you the game himself. That's all right. We have a two-time MVP. We have a elite quarterback that can do that for us. No, there's no doubt in our mind Lamar Jackson's going to go out there, dice up your defense, win the game pretty handedly. Derrick Henry's going to put someone into the ground with that stiff arm, over 100 yards rushing. Zay Flowers is going to make somebody his bitch. That was an amazing catch by JSN. But overall, undoubtedly, the Patriots are going to choke this game away like they did against the Buffalo Bills. They're going to make Lamar Jackson look like MVP Lamar Jackson. All in all, Ravens going to win. They're going to look like a true contender in the AFC. And you guys are going to have some very serious concerns about what's going to happen with the New England Patriots, especially because in the last five games, they've given up over 130 yards rushing as an average. The Ravens, the one thing they are very damn good at is running the ball in December. You don't want this smoke.
Talking about fucking running the ball in December? Bro, we're the New England Patriots. We live for December. Are you shitting me? Bro.
I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Ravens.
It was just fucking negative 10 last week. What do you mean?
You already know who's won. And look what happened. And you guys lost. I don't.
Or negative 10. It was like negative 10 Thanksgiving.
I'm hearing is Ravens by a billion. I'm not hearing anything about the Patriots.
Whatever, dude.
Even your own fan base doesn't trust you against the Ravens right now. What?
Yeah, those are fake fans.
Oh, fake fans. All right.
I'm kidding. That's Monday night. I'm kidding. That would be attacking CJ. I'm not attacking CJ anymore.
All right, let's see Sunday night at 11 o'clock. I'll call you. Win, lose, or draw.
I'll give you this.
A flag.
I'll give you this. Remember the main critique of the Patriots in the beginning of the season is their slow starts. Well, I can't wait for the Pats to have a slow start and for John Harbaugh to have one of his most epic collapses that will really make you want him to be fired on the spot.
I'm not sure he can do anything more to make me move. He can't hurt me anymore.
There will be picket fences and signs calling for his job outside of M&T Bank Stadium.
Unless we had like an amazing, if we go up 20-0 and lose the game, if we go 20-0 and somehow lose the game, then I'll be like, I need him fired today.
Imagine. All right, real shit though. Imagine if the Ravens do go up 21-0 and the Pats just do what the Bills did to them.
Can you two like kiss and make up already? Like, oh my god.
Yeah, CJ. You're
actually no, don't kiss Tuck. You'd be cheating on Adam, Chris. Wow. Now that was a slight at you, not Adam.
It's a throuple. But... it's a throuple. It's fine.
As if.
Oh, please.
CJ. All right. I'm getting ahead of myself. No, no, it's not a throuple, obviously. I'm messing around with you guys. But God. As a Pats fan, God. Have mercy on my soul. I'm tilting towards the Ravens here. This is the second week in a row where, I'm not going to lie, I just think the Ravens are hungrier, just like the Bills were. This isn't going to be a battle of who's the better team.
That's a Skip Bayless pick. I just think the Ravens
want it more. All right. Can you stop reacting to the game? And Chris, can you stop bellyaching? I'm just saying, like, this season, I am getting 2021 PTSD all over again. All it takes is for them to get punched in the mouth and then they start sputtering and they just skid the rest of the season. But it's more than that. New England, it's one big word, injuries. That's, to me, that's the real problem here. It's all about the injuries. Now, that has been the one thing this season New England has been really, I'm just gonna say, they've been lucky, but now I'm not gonna lie, the injuries are starting lucky-ish. To pile up. And somebody said this, I think it was Adam actually. He said, I think it might have been off camera, but still his point stands. New England was playing with fire, having depth that's not this good. And I hate to say it, but he's right. I don't hate that he's right. I just hate that's the reality, that they were playing with fire. And they were playing with fire by having this low depth, and they got burned. And the thing is, that defense misses Milton Williams. You should never, I mean, outside of a quarterback, obviously, because that's like its own thing, but you should never let one guy be the difference between your side of the ball being good or bad. Once again, except quarterback, that's obviously different. But the fact that this defense is low-key such a glass cannon. They were shaky without Gonzalez, and they're shaky without Williams, and all of a sudden they can't stop the run. Why are they so, like I said, it's a glass cannon thing. Carlton Davis isn't practicing. Jonathan Jones isn't practicing. Robert Spillane isn't practicing. Like,
he didn't play last week.
There's a very real shot they are missing almost their entire, like, they're going to be missing their two of their top three corners. There's a real shot they're going to be missing their top linebacker again. Like, and Christian Barmore's banged up. Harold Landry, the team's sack leader's banged up. New England might have nobody on this defense, and that's what scares me. It's going to be injuries. Part of me feels like it's going to be a shootout, and I know it's a different team, but I still don't trust the Pats in a shootout yet. I think they can get there with Drake May. Because, you know, he's better than Mac Jones was, obviously, and it's not close. But I still don't trust them in a shootout. They still don't have that killer instinct, that clutch factor. And begrudgingly, I'm going with the Ravens. Oh, but mark my word, if the Pats win, I'm going to be insufferable to Tuck mostly. Actually, who am I kidding? No, I'm not. But whatever.
You got a good boy.
I like Drake May to have a big day. I don't think the Ravens defense is good. No offense, Tuck.
I don't
fuck you. A lot of offense. Fuck you. A lot of offense.
lot of offense.
Yeah.
I wonder if he means a lot of offense.
Yeah. Yeah. No, honest, in all seriousness, no. Oh, he's there. He's there.
I'm going against Jackson Smith and Jigba in fantasy, and he just got the touchdown. So you know the worst part is, I'm 12-1 and projected to lose the finals. My best season ever, and I'm going to come up short line again. Like, I fucking can't.
All right, let's
this is, damn it.
Let's try to talk about Colts 49ers real quick before.
Oh my God, they're going for
it. Oh, they're, yes, yes, yes. All right, fuck the Colts real quick. Fuck the Colts 49ers.
We need to see this. We'll talk about this game later, but we need to see if they win this game.
For the game.
I was projected to win, and now I lost even worse with that JSN.
All right.
Walk off touchdown. Damn it.
All right, since they're going at the timeout, let's do Colts 49ers real quick. Colts 5.5 point underdogs at home. Over under is 46.5 for this game. It's look like the Colts. We are like Phillip Rivers is what he is. He's a 44-year-old quarterback that hasn't played in 5 years. You know, he held his own and brought his team to potentially almost winning the game against this Seahawks team that's currently a two-point try away from beating the Rams. But I got the Niners this week.
Yeah, I don't see old man Rivers just miraculously beating the 49ers out of nowhere. He should have won against the Seattle Seahawks team last week, but unfortunately his defense let him down, which is surprising. But yeah, I got the 49ers winning this one pretty handily. Now the Seahawks.
All right, Seahawks just called a timeout. CJ.
I got the 49ers.
I got the Niners winning. I just think for the Colts, to put it nicely, even though you got your nice little feel-good story in Phillip Rivers, I think they're just delaying the inevitable. You're not going to the playoffs. Like, your season went down with Daniel Jones. You were already sputtering before that. So, I just, like, it sucks, but, hey, you know, we all remember when you were 8-2. Now you're 8-6. It's just, it's not their fault. It's just injuries, but, oh, well. The Niners just could stack the box every play, pretty much. I mean, but Rivers almost beat Seattle, but oh well. I still got the Niners.
Oh, game on the line.
Here we go.
Game on the line. Two-point try. Darnold drop back, looking on, firing.
Oh ball game. Over.
Game over. Oh my. And
they upset the Rams in Lumen Field. Ah.
Oh,
and the Seahawks now control the division.
Yes, they do.
And the NFC. Sam Darnold put aside seeing ghosts for the win. And the only loser is me in fantasy because Jackson Smith and Jigba was held to no catches in the first half. My odds went up. Now my odds went, it was like 50-50 to now 47. Oh, goody. Because JSN decided to just to go off. And remember I always said a few episodes ago, listeners, I hated fantasy. This is why. And unfortunately, I said I want to stop doing this league, but of course, you know, I'm going to look like a sore loser if I quit after losing the championship, but that was good anyway. So I don't know. I hate fantasy.
You can
I do.
Still win. You can
Jeez.
Still
win. No, I still can, but I just don't have favorable matchups this week, like at all.
So my buddy has this model that he does for betting. And he does every single game, every single week. And he said that the model had the Seahawks by one. But it was a different final score. Yeah, the model had it at 25-24 Seahawks winning. But, I mean, we reacted to it live. The Melvis field goal miss, obviously that was huge. Considering that, well, went to OT and Seahawks win when, I mean, could have been completely different if he had hit that field goal, especially with the way those final drives went down. Neither team could really get anything going to end the fourth quarter, especially that final Seahawks drive. But geez, Seahawks, how about that? Taking over the number one spot in the NFC, never mind taking over the one spot in the NFC West. 12-3. Rams are now 11-4 in the fifth spot. Both teams have clinched a playoff spot. Wow. Just, hey, I think the big story here, though, is Sam Darnold. I mean, you think about a guy that, well, in these types of games, he shrinks. And first half was not looking his best by any means. They were not throwing the football at all. Two interceptions in this game. But goodness, the minute that they went down by 16, he just flipped a switch. Yeah. It was unbelievable. End up going 22 for 34, two touchdowns, 270 yards. JSN, he was quiet all night. One target. I was losing my mind, pulling my hair out. And once again, this is also, by the way, back-to-back weeks where this has happened. Stop giving me a heart attack. If you throw the ball to JSN for a full 60 minutes, maybe he has 20 catches. Maybe he has 16 catches. He had 8 catches tonight for 97 yards. He could have 16 catches for 200 yards. I'm a fantasy owner. I want points. On the other side, Puka Nacua, well, everyone knows about the controversy that he had doing something anti-Semitic right before one of the biggest game of the season. And you wondered how that would affect his performance. You wondered if they were going to throw him the fucking ball. 12 catches, 225 yards, two touchdowns. The Rams had literally no answer for him, including the touchdown that gave the Rams the lead in overtime. Where do we rank? Where do you guys rank Puka in terms of receivers in the league?
Top five.
It would have to be at this point, yes, especially this season.
I was about to say, he's a top five receiver for a reason. I mean, saw how he performed under duress in the heat of battle. I thought they were going to win this game after he scored that second touchdown. And then here comes the Seattle Seahawks. But, yeah, top five. He's definitely a top five receiver this year.
He had 12 catches. There wasn't a single guy that had more than three. And Stafford completed passes to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different receivers, including Puka himself. 8 of them did not surpass 3 catches. Puka Nacua also had 16 targets in this game. Matt Stafford, 457 yards, 3 touchdowns. Does this affect his MVP case at all?
No. He did his job.
No, he did his job. He had over 400 yards and like 3 touchdowns. This was a defensive collapse and kicker collapse. Also, Rams, word to the wise, congratulations, you're now in the market for a new kicker. Because look, Mevis knows he makes that, they win, and the game probably doesn't go to OT. And you know how it is, once kickers miss a crucial kick, that confidence is shattered. And look, I'm not a kicker, I wouldn't know, but based just on the outside looking in, they never get that confidence back. That confidence is shot. Once a kicker loses their confidence, never comes back. So, yeah, congrats, Rams. You're looking for another kicker.
I went on DraftKings just to look at the odds, and the odds are, like, moving like a motherfucker right now. It's getting a little weird for me right now. So, Matt Stafford, his odds, we were talking about earlier, but he was, like, minus 500. Or something ridiculous. He's now at minus 240 in the MVP odds. Sam Darnold is now tied for fourth at plus 9,000. You guys are not going to believe who's currently fourth in the NFL MVP odds right now.
Is it someone who shouldn't be there?
Debatably so.
Is it Mahomes?
No.
No, he's gone.
Is it someone who's not a QB?
Is QB.
Oh my God. Watch it be like.
No. Let me think about this.
It better not be. I have a horrible feeling.
Bo Nix?
Bo Nix is up there. He's not tied for fourth, though.
No. He's not. That's not undeserving. It's Trevor Lawrence, isn't it?
No.
Thank God.
Caleb Williams.
Oh, yeah, no, he should not be there.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know why.
No, dude, he shouldn't. Change my mind.
We are, what, 10 minutes after this game has ended, and Caleb Williams, NFL MVP odds, he didn't even play a fucking snap today, and his odds shot up.
Sam Donald threw two interceptions, and he still won this game.
Yeah, they totally won despite him, not because of him.
Yeah.
I think it was still a big reason why they were able to make a comeback, though.
Yeah, I know, but like, ooh.
He was like part of the reason, but he wasn't a nor the reason.
Jesus.
I'm sorry. I'm so mad about JSN. I really thought they were going to hold him, and then he just exploded in the second half. And now I'm probably going to lose the chip. Like, God damn it.
Rams sneaky bottom three. 581 total yards. They forced three turnovers. Had a 16-point lead in the fourth quarter and still lost. 581 yards.
Oh, by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, doesn't Seattle now clinch a playoff berth?
Yes. Yeah, they do.
They clinched.
I mentioned that.
And the 49ers will probably clinch one when they win, when they win their game.
Very likely. If, you never know, any given Sunday.
Yeah, let's take one last quick peek at the NFC real quick before we wrap things up. Seahawks, first seed, Bears, second seed, Eagles, 3, Bucks, 4, Rams, 5. Currently, Rams, Seahawks are the only two teams that have clinched a playoff spot. 49ers, Packers, Lions, Panthers, Cowboys are on the outside looking in. Packers are the 7 seed. If the Niners win, I'm just looking at, if the Niners win, then they're in because they would have a better conference record than the Lions. That's pretty much it. That's really it. So you guys would be correct.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, we should probably do a tankathon update at some point. CJ, you were muted.
Maybe next episode.
Yeah. Yes, I'm thinking next episode. We haven't done a single Tankathon update this season, come to think of it.
That's our
fault. It's been weird, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so many bad teams. Well, honestly, last year there was way more bad teams, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And like, so it was actually kind of a race to see who was going to get that number one pick.
Fair.
All right. That's all the scheduled content that we have for you today. Wild one. This great episode today, boys.
Thanks.
This is one of the better ones we've had.
Mm-hmm. Not gonna lie.
I mean, it helps that we had a hell of a game to react to live.
This might be game of the year.
Yeah. There's.
Yeah.
I actually, real quick before we end the show, I meant to ask this. Obviously, we saw the 2-point conversion. Successful, so maybe the opinion may be a little skewed in a way, but would you guys, without knowing the result of what just happened, would you guys have gone for 2 yourselves?
Yeah, I mean, we saw the Commanders lose by that sword, and I still thought they should have gone for it.
I agree.
Like, if you can win the game, you win the game. That's called playing to win. Any other answer, I would say you're just playing not to lose, and that's not playing at all.
I agree. I think you go for it just to end the game. It's not the end of the world if you lose, but, again, you go for the win here. Too much is at stake to play pussy. Yeah.
I love the gutsiness, though, because, like, you are now.
You should probably also end the show. Like, it's.
Yeah, late. I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Also, I would say they were more gutsy in the beginning of the game. They weren't. Whatever. It's 23-14, and they weren't doing this in the beginning of the game.
No, they weren't, and they still made a comeback. That'll do it for us today. Thank you for tuning in to another Friday episode of the Fumble Risky Podcast. New episode comes out on Tuesday at 8 a.m. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, to keep up with the pod and latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, we will see you on Tuesday. Myself, Chris Kostich, there, Justin Tucker, and CJ Medeiros. Glad for you to join us again. over and out.